The following sermon was preached at Hope Protestant Reformed Church in Redlands, California. For more information, please visit our website at hopeprc.org.
We turn to John chapter 1, the Gospel according to John. John 1, we read the first 18 verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him, and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Thus far we read the divinely inspired and infallible sacred scriptures this morning. The text for the sermon is verses 15 and 16. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, in short, in the first 14 verses of this chapter and book, the inspired Apostle John, who is the beloved disciple of Jesus Christ and the son of Zebedee and the brother of James, has taught us concerning the Word, that he is eternal, he was eternally with God, that he is God, that by him all things were made, that he is the true light, which lighteth every man, and that through him we receive our sonship. This Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And John, the Apostle John, says, we beheld his glory, he was full of grace and truth. So that Word incarnate is Jesus. In verses 15 and following, the Apostle John, who is the human writer of the book, will appeal to the testimony of John the Baptist to prove that this man Jesus who walks among them is the Christ, the promised Christ, and that he is the Son of God, and therefore he can be the Christ, and that he is the Word made flesh. So the Apostle John, the human writer, appeals to the testimony of John the Baptist. And John the Baptist declared, verse 15, he that cometh after me is preferred before me. John always said, this one coming after me, Jesus, he's greater than I am. That's 15. In verses 19 and following, the human writer, disciple John, apostle John, will elaborate on the witness or testimony of John the Baptist. So verse 19 reads, and this is the record or the witness, the testimony of John the Baptist. 15 mentions the testimony of John the Baptist. 19 and following, he elaborates on that testimony. But right there in verses 16 through 18, the inspired apostle will give to us a few reasons why this Jesus, who is the Word incarnate, who is the Christ, who is the Son of God, why he is greater than every man and to be preferred even above John the Baptist. One reason we have in verse 16, he's full, and he is full of grace. And now the point is not that we behold him. John has already mentioned that in verse 14. We saw this Son of Glory, full of grace and truth, and we beheld him. But the point here is that we receive him. We really do. As to our own experience, we receive the fullness of the grace of Jesus Christ. Not a little bit, because he's full of grace. Therefore, we receive grace for grace. Grace for grace. Let's consider that truth this morning. Grace for grace. Noticing three things. First, a full Savior. In the second place, a full reception. And then third, a full response. And of his, Jesus Christ, and of his fullness have we all received grace for grace. Jesus is full of grace. Grace. Grace is, first of all, an attribute of God. God is eternally in himself a God of grace. Therefore, grace in God is not, first of all, a saving attitude of favor. No person in the Trinity needs gracious salvation. That God is eternally a God of grace in himself means that he is a God of beauty, loveliness, pleasantness, and he contemplates himself as such. God of grace. Psalm 45 verse 2 says of the majestic king, thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. God poured grace, fairness, beauty, loveliness into the king. And out of his lips then came forth this grace, which was beauty and pleasantness. God is a God of grace in himself eternally. That is, he's a God of rich beauty and pleasantness. But then in the second place, God is a God of grace in that he has a saving attitude of favor toward his people. From all eternity, God beholds his elect people as beautiful and lovely. And then in time and history, they are born as sons and daughters of Adam and Eve, depraved, defiled in sin, ugly in their sin, and God shows his grace towards those people, though they do not deserve it. God beautifies them in salvation. That's his grace, his favor, his power. He gives his people a new life, making them beautiful. He pardons them of all of their sins, making them beautiful. He sanctifies them, making them holy and beautiful. He glorifies them and takes them to heaven, making them eternally beautiful with his own beauty. God is a God of grace toward his people. And that is his saving attitude and power. All of that grace that God gives to his people is found in Jesus Christ. It comes out of Jesus. It comes from Jesus and of his Jesus, of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. From all eternity, God beholds us as beautiful. He beholds no iniquity in Jacob. That's because God beholds us in Jesus Christ from all eternity. In time and history, we have this new life given to us wherewith we are undeservedly beautified, and that's the life of Christ. And we have this pardon whereby we are undeservedly pardoned of all of our sins, and that comes through the cross of Christ. And this holiness whereby we are sanctified and made beautiful is by the Spirit of Christ. And this glorification in the end, we are conformed perfectly to the image of Christ and taken by Christ into the beauty of heaven. So that all of God's grace always comes through and out of and from Jesus Christ. Fullness. And of his fullness have we all received. Jesus Christ is full of God's grace. If we can put it this way, Jesus is the container that contains every last drop of God's grace. He is full of God's own grace. All of God's grace is in Jesus Christ. There's not one drop of God's grace outside of Jesus Christ. For he is full of God's grace. And that means the only way a person can ever receive grace is if he is in Jesus Christ. If one is outside of Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter what he may have, a beautiful wife, a high-paying salary, wonderful health for 100 years. That's not grace if he's outside of Jesus Christ. For all of God's grace is in Christ. He is the fullness of God's grace, full of grace. He is an infinitely deep, inexhaustible, limitless fount of overflowing grace. That's Jesus Christ, full of God's own beauty. You see him? Behold your Christ. He's incomparable. He's full of God's beauty. There is no creature in the universe, there is no human being that can compare to Christ. He's altogether lovely. Hold next to him a sparkling diamond or a snow-capped mountain or a glowing sunset over the ocean. Put your own husband or your own wife next to Jesus Christ. Take a newborn infant and put him or her next to Jesus Christ. There's no creature in all the universe who can even compare to Christ. He is full of God's own beauty, full of grace. We see something of that in the supper this morning, in his sacrifice, in his love for us. He is full of God's beauty, full of grace. The word of God to us this morning is not to behold him full of grace. The word of God is receive him. And it's not even a command, receive him. It's a reality. We do receive him. Verse 16, and of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. We receive the fullness of this grace. Now that act of reception belongs to all believers who have been, according to verse 13, born of God. They have been born of God, regenerated, and therefore have been given the gift of saving faith, whereby they can not only behold Jesus in all of his beauty, but lay a hold of him and consciously receive him unto themselves. So there he is, the Christ. He's full of God's grace and beauty, and we receive that grace. And of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. And now there's a unique statement in the Bible, beautiful statement in John 1, grace for grace. What does that mean? Well, it could mean that we receive gracious gifts for the sake of God's grace. Grace for grace. We receive all kinds of gracious gifts, not for the sake of ourselves, not because of what we've done, but we receive grace for the sake of God's grace. It could perhaps mean that we receive grace in order to show grace. We receive the power of grace for the purpose of showing grace to others. Grace for grace. Nevertheless, the idea of this expression is that we receive one expression of grace after another. Grace for grace for grace. That little word for usually means instead of or in the place of. And the idea is we receive one expression of grace from this limitless fountain, Jesus Christ. It comes to us, grace. And then another one. And another expression. Grace for grace. Grace after grace after grace after grace from the limitless fount of grace, Jesus Christ. And as men have said throughout all the ages of the church, if there's a picture in the creation that God made to illustrate for us, John 1 verse 16, it's in the waves of the ocean. We stand before the ocean and it's mighty waters, deep and broad, a seemingly limitless fount of water. And out of the ocean comes upon the shore wave after wave after wave. To use the language of the text, wave for wave. For wave, for wave, for wave. And so much changes about the shoreline as beachgoers come and go and boats come and go. And over the centuries, houses along the shore, they come and go. But there's something that never changes for the shoreline right there alongside of the limitless fount of water. And that is receiving wave after wave after wave. It never ends. Wave for wave. And that's an illustration in the creation of the truth of John 1 verse 16. Jesus is the limitless fount, and we receive of his fullness grace for grace for grace. As he comes to us through the Bible and through the preaching of the gospel and through the holy sacrament and through our own fellowship as believers united in the Spirit of Christ, we receive grace for grace. Consider the supper this morning. We come to God's supper, and by faith we receive the grace of the pardon of all of our sins. And as that wave gently rolls over our soul, before it dissolves and disappears, there's already another wave coming, and it's peace and communion with God. And it rolls so gently over our soul. And here comes another wave of fellowship and unity with God's people here in God's house. And here comes another wave we receive over our soul. The hope to be with Christ everlastingly at the marriage supper of the Lamb in heaven at the table by faith we receive grace for grace for grace, grace after grace. And that's exactly what we need. That's what we need. We don't need a little bit of grace from a Savior who has a little bit of grace, but we need endless waves of grace from a limitless fount because it's sin for sin with us. And not only according to the Scriptures, that's according to our own experience. Sin for sin for sin. After sin, and that's the great burden of the Christian life that causes the child of God to groan. And it is felt more acutely as one increases in years, one sin after the other. I cannot stop sinning in my heart. I can't. And I sin, and I confess, and God forgives me, and that same wicked thought comes back. Same one. And tomorrow, the same thought, sin after sin after sin in my heart, and that I considered in self-examination, crying, oh, wretched man that I am, wave after wave after wave of sin comes out of my heart. Belgic Confession in Article 15 speaks of original sin and our corrupt nature, saying, nor is it by any means abolished or done away by baptism, since sin always issues forth from this woeful source as water from a fountain. And that's our experience. Wave of sin after wave of sin coming out of the heart. And the word of the gospel this morning is that Jesus Christ is full of grace. And out of that limitless fount comes wave after wave of grace to meet and cover every wave of sin that comes out of my heart. He washes it away. And here comes another wave, and he washes it away so that I am always, every moment, beautiful in the sight of God. For every sin, there's more grace to cover it. Grace for grace. The ocean will sooner stop producing waves of water than Jesus Christ will run out of grace. He is a limitless fount for all God's people. Grace for grace. That's the word of the gospel. And you and I might run out of grace. This is all I get from you in our relationship. Sin after sin after sin after sin. And I've given grace for grace for grace, but you know what? I don't have any grace left for you. You've exhausted my fount. Depart from me, you sinner. I'm finished with you. Behold Jesus Christ, full of grace, and we receive of his fullness grace for grace. And you know, one of the beautiful expressions of the grace of Jesus Christ is this. He works in our hearts his own grace so that we say to others, I forgive. I'll deal patiently with you. I'll be kind to you. Over and over and over and over again. His grace in us towards others. Grace for grace for grace. And we need that because out of our hearts, it's sin after sin after sin. Grace for grace. We not only need that grace to cover sins for sins, but to strengthen us in hardships for hardships. Because that too is part of our experience. One affliction, one wave of trouble, one wave of sorrow and hardship after another. That is a congregation. Every congregation struggles. Every congregation has hardships. That's part of the life of a congregation. It doesn't matter where you go. Every church has its struggles. And the head of that church is Jesus Christ, who's a limitless fount of grace. And we all receive of his fullness grace for grace to meet every need. More broadly, that's even true of denominations. As a denomination, struggle after struggle, and we hear of one wave pouring against the shore, a painful death here, and a grievous tragedy there. Hardship after hardship. Enemies outside the camp assaulting. Sometimes enemies inside the camp. For a denomination of churches, hardships and struggles over and over again. And there's Jesus Christ, the head, full of grace, so that it's grace for grace for us all. And then very personally, that's true, and maybe you say the theme of my life is hardship for hardship. Every morning I get up and there's some other difficulty for me. Hardship for hardship. That's not the theme of the life of the believing child of God. The theme of his life is grace for grace. For every day, there's another wave and wave after wave to meet every trouble and every affliction. It doesn't matter where you stand. You're always receiving grace. And it doesn't matter where you look. There's always another wave of grace coming every day. And that's true for you, struggling, fearful, disquieted, anxious believer. That's true for you too. What does the text say? And of his fullness have some received, and of his fullness have we. No. And of his fullness have all we received. All of us. Grace for grace. Why do we get discouraged? Do we think that Jesus Christ will run out of grace for us? Next week it won't be there? He's God. Limitless. Do we think he's unwilling to give us grace to meet our needs the coming days or weeks? He's Christ. He's full of grace. There he is. And of his fullness we all receive, and grace for grace. Oh, my soul, why art thou troubled and disquieted within me? Receive Christ and receive grace for grace. A full Savior, a full reception, and finally a full response. Receiving this grace, there's a full response from us. That is a complete response. And two aspects to our response. Number one, we testify, he's greater than I am. Adore him. Worship him. That's John's testimony, verse 15. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. John cried that. That's John the Baptist. He cried, he was before me. In time, he's eternal, the eternal word. In office, he's preferred before me because he's the Christ. In honor, because he's God. In exaltation, because he's the Lord. In God's counsel, because he's the center, the very heart of it. In every respect, this Jesus is preferred before me. He is before me. He's greater than I am. Don't look at me. That's what John always said. Don't look at me. Look behind me. There he is. He's greater than I am. Full of grace. And that's what we say. Receiving the grace of the Lord's Supper. Don't look at me. Don't honor me. There's one greater than I am. It's Christ. I have a soul of sin. He's a fountain of grace. I'm a man. He's God. I never humbled myself as a servant and unto the shameful death of the cross for sinners. He did. He is preferred before me. Worship him. That first, that's our response. Give all glory to Christ and none to me. And second, what completes and makes this response full is, to God be the thanks. That's our response, to God be the thanks. The text says, verse 16, and of his fullness have we all, and here now is the important word, received. And when you receive something, that's a gift, and there ought to be thanks. And thanks appropriate for what's been given. Out of the fullness of Jesus Christ, we receive grace for grace for grace. We receive that as a gift. And our response, and this is what completes our response, we give gratitude to God. Behold your God. Now go back to the very beginning. God, God of grace, in himself, the everlasting triune God, irrespective of human beings, keep them out of the picture, all by himself, triune God, full of grace, contemplating his own beauty for the delight of himself as the God of infinite perfections, God of grace. There's where we started. Now look at his wisdom. His wisdom. As he ordains this Christ, his incarnate Son, to be a fountain of grace. and elects all these people out of the history of the world from every nation, tribe, and tongue. And this God of infinite grace, he pours his grace into Jesus Christ, his incarnate Son, so that he overflows with grace. And of that grace, we all receive. And grace for grace for grace, so that we are filled with the grace and beauty of Jesus Christ. And then we overflow and we respond back to God. To God be the glory, and all thanks be to him who gave us this Christ, from whom we receive grace for grace. Look at his wisdom. And now he's praised everlastingly, and he will be in heaven by all these people through Jesus Christ. Grace from God to his Son to us who give thanks back to God. Behold your God of grace and wisdom. From him we receive grace for grace. Amen. Let us pray. How beautiful and lovely and wonderful to the experience, O God, is thy sovereign, particular, efficacious grace that faileth never. May we receive it this morning, and receiving it, give thee the thanks. Amen.